You hear the bumper music coming in. School's out for Monday, to be sure. C2NRC says it'll be back in tomorrow. Joining us now to talk about this, school board member Nathan Rust. Welcome back, man. How are you?
Hanging in there. You know, look, I'm a parent too, and my kids are at home. And, you know, we're fortunate that my wife can be at home with our kids this morning, but there's a lot of kids that I'm worried about are on the street today.
Yeah.
Or parents are at home instead of at work where they need to be, you know, for their family's sake. And so we're in a tough spot as a community today.
Yeah, we absolutely are. I mean, so my kids are in Catholic school, so they're in school today. But we see the shakeups there as well, because with no bus service, there's no bus service.
Right.
So that plays into it. And then just the overall state of the community, like, it's not like our schools were so good we could afford days off here and there.
Right.
You know, we're not really ringing the bell, no pun intended.
Yeah, we got to take every single day we can, because every day we're not in school, there are kids that absolutely need instruction,
yeah,
that need to be in school today.
How did we get here?
It's a complex issue, but I think, put simply, transportation in general is a administrative can that's been kicked down the road for, I would say, at least close to a decade.
Okay.
All right. It's a place where people don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
It's drastically underpaid. Our bus drivers haven't seen an increase in pay in, I believe, 10 years. Don't quote me on that, but that's what I've heard. I haven't gone back and studied it. We have an aging fleet, complicated by the fact that we can't even get buses right now due to supply chain. Like, the magic word, supply chain. Everybody's been hearing that for years, but we,
right,
there's buses on order that we haven't gotten for like 2 years.
Okay.
So is, even if we wanted to, if I had $50 million, I was like, find me buses. You couldn't get them.
Interesting.
And so we have a fleet that needs a ton of work. Buses that are on average, I think, like 13 years old, buses without air conditioning. And there's no simple solve to that. We can't find buses to buy. We can't find buses to lease. So the issue that we're having right now, it's not as simple as how much you pay people. It's not as simple as how you fix your fleet. It's also complicated by the fact that our routing systems are broken right now.
Okay.
They tried to implement a new routing system over the summer. It failed. They had to roll back to the previous system. Previous system is really bad and has to require like manual routing. That ended up being a disaster. So this is a very complicated problem.
Okay, what we're hearing about primarily is the money.
Yeah.
But what you're telling me is the money is one of many, many factors.
We could, and we have thrown money at this problem, and it's not going to get better.
Let's talk about that. Stipend, yeah, was offered.
Yeah.
That would make up the difference between what they're making and what they believe they should be making.
Mm-hmm.
That stipend is for a year.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't good enough. Why wasn't that good enough? Why couldn't that be taken as a good faith gesture towards solving the problem on a more long-term basis after?
That's a great question. I think it was a big step. Look, we last Thursday night, like, we spent $12 million on a lark,
mm-hmm,
because we recognized how hard our bus drivers are working. The fact that historically they've been overlooked for a long time, that $19,000 is not a livable wage, whether it's a part-time job, full-time job, whatever you want to call it. These people can't go get another job with,
yeah,
stability. And that's how that position has been treated.
Right.
And I have a problem with that, right? Mm-hmm. We got to treat this like this is a full-time job and figure out what that looks like. But we recognize that. And I want and would love to see those people and a lot of people in our system get a raise.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe we can't do that at the cost of potentially bankrupting our system someday in the future that we can't predict.
We're going to get to that part in a minute.
Yeah.
Because anything long-term, look, if you could walk in here and say, oh, we offered up to spend $12 million on a lark the other night. Okay, well, that's going to start to add up, especially if it becomes permanent and not just a stipend, which I would think that would be the good faith gesture. We'll get, yeah, to the money into this in a minute.
Sure.
I still want to walk through the how a little bit further.
Mm-hmm.
Because a week ago, we didn't just learn that they were underpaid. A week ago, we didn't just learn that buses didn't have air conditioning. A week ago, we didn't just learn that the routing systems were all out of whack. A week ago, we didn't just learn about the every issue that you described a moment ago. That was not new news to anyone who drives a bus a week ago.
True.
How come this doesn't become an issue until last week on into this week?
I think that the straw broke the camel's back in a way that our transportation system got pushed until it broke.
Mm-hmm.
We lost, I believe, around 100 drivers between the end of the school year and the beginning of this current school year. So we went into the start of school short at a drastic level drivers. We were short buses. I talked about the logistical issue of routing and all that stuff. There was also a decision made to eliminate the elementary transfer point, which I believe on its face was a altruistic move, not wanting kids to be on the bus for 2 hours in the morning or however long it took to get across town. But it's clear that there was a really deep underestimation of the problems in transportation. I don't think it's helpful to point fingers at this juncture. There's going to have to be accountability.
Kind of what I do, though.
So. I know. But I want to focus on the fact that we need kids back in school tomorrow.
Yes.
Right? And I can talk all day about whose fault I think it is and how these people and this people are doing that, this and the other, whatever. But what I need is for people to think about the fact that kids are not in school today and how that affects families and how that affects those kids' futures. People need to go back to work.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the people in our community with kids in school. I'm talking about bus drivers. I'm talking about cafeteria workers. I'm talking about teachers that decided to stick out today. We need everybody back at school tomorrow.
Well, Nathan Rust, school board member, is our guest. So we were talking about it a little bit during the break. What you were saying there was basically there's plenty. You talk about not focusing on whose fault it is, but you were saying there's plenty of blame to go around.
Certainly. Look, I take accountability for ways that I should have asked harder and deeper questions about transportation just as a board member.
Mm-hmm.
And every board member should. Like when we were busting at the seams in February, when bus routes were showing up late, when it was starting to show cracks at the seams, right? I started asking questions, trying to get an understanding of like, how bad is this? What is going on? Right? And I started to get information, but I didn't really recognize that I didn't recognize this was going to happen. I'm not confident even the people around did either, but look, we're in the middle of a crisis right now.
Yes.
We got a lot of problems to solve. It's going to take some time to do so.
We've got Nathan Rust with us talking about the crisis. As he says, EBR schools are not in today. Nathan, look, for better or for worse, Sito Narcisse is going to get the brunt of the blame here. He is the man in charge. He is the superintendent. I mean, he goes in front of a microphone yesterday and says he's but a facilitator. No, you're the man in charge. You're the CEO. You're going to get a big chunk of the blame. When a problem comes up that looks like a problem that involves, in large part, not keeping your eye on the ball, and you spent the summer scoping out other gigs, how can he avoid blame here?
I don't know that he can, and I don't know he's really actively trying to at this point. In every conversation that I've had, I think he has accepted accountability that, and look, this is the thing at the end of the day, the problem definitely didn't start with Sito Narcisse.
Right.
Right. But it did get to where it is under our administration.
Mm-hmm.
And so there has to be accountability for that. There has to be an answering for the failures of decisions to make. And this is what I say all the time. The people that we employ in that system, they're the grown-ups in the room. They're the professionals. If they can't do it, somebody needs to.
No,
right?
No, absolutely.
I'm a board member. I'm not a professional educator. I'm not a superintendent. I'm not a teacher. Heck, I'm not a lot of things. I'm just a very self-educated small business owner. And I have to depend on the information I'm given. I have to depend on the accountability of the people in that system. To give us true and accurate information, and they gotta be accountable to that.
We got 2 minutes left in this segment, and sure. I've got 4 more questions to cover. So, okay. Can I keep you all the way up until 9?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
I'm here.
The next, thank you. The next question for Nathan Rust, school board member Nathan Rust, is when we were talking during the break, you were saying it's going to take a lot, and I mean a lot, of money to fix the problem long term. Where should that money come from?
Look, that's the million-dollar question, okay?
Multi-million-dollar question, as it were.
The billion-dollar question, if you will. This is the thing that I think is getting missed in this conversation, that we just came out of this conversation over the summer where we battled over how to deal with compensation issues. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was the most divisive issue for 3 months in the entire system and within our board of how to properly compensate people. There was a lot of different plans. There was plans to give permanent raises. There was plans to give different kinds of stipends. There was plan to give no raises, no stipends. In the end, we decided that we don't have a accurate enough forecast of our future financial situation mm-hmm. to encumber ourselves with what was essentially, you know, $30, $40, $50, $60 million of a yearly increase in our spending without knowing some of the things that we've got to deal with ahead. I'm going to give you an example.
Yep.
We're losing federal COVID dollars at the end of this year, $60 million that we've got to come up with as it is.
Okay, it's that $60 million that's coming down from the federal government that we can't expect it to rely on, to be sure. So is the problem in our own budget? That's going to be too deep for us to dig into. I'll tell you what, we're coming up on a break. We're going to hit your money now. We're going to hit traffic. Come back. We'll squeeze a few more minutes out of school board member Nathan Rust right after we take this break. Yeah, we're going to blow past the outside in. Not nearly as important as what's going on with kids being out of school. Will they be out of school again tomorrow? We'll talk about that next. It's 8:50. Nathan Rust, got a couple minutes left with you. Want to make the most of it, and I appreciate you sticking around.
Sure.
Okay. School will be back in tomorrow. You're yes. confident of that?
Yes, we're going back to school tomorrow.
Okay. Why so confident?
Because we have to.
Okay. How is that going to look?
How's that going to look? Kids are going to go back to school. They're going to get picked up by bus drivers and buses. Mm-hmm. Teachers are going to be at school. Cafeteria workers are going to be serving food. It's what must be done. Anything less of that, we're failing to accomplish our mission.
Making that promise, though, weakens the power when it gives them more power to stand out.
Absolutely. Look, it's up to those people to decide what is best for them and what is best for kids. Mm-hmm. All right. I can't make that decision for every employee. Ultimately, we all have a job. We all have a mandate to educate kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back to school. Let's do that job.
Look, I agree in sentiment, but if I'm the one who's holding out, if I'm the one who called in sick and handed in my keys on Friday,
yeah.
and said I'm out on Friday, I'm out on Monday, I don't know where's the spark. When you offer $9,000+ as a stipend, that didn't get it done. Where's the spark to get them back?
Mm. So our superintendent's having talks with every group of employees today.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that we come to an agreement to go back to school tomorrow. I have confidence that'll happen.
This is a much longer conversation, and I appreciate you sticking around for a couple of extra minutes. It's a much longer conversation. Can you give me a summation in 30 seconds for people that are looking for cuts from the central office? People are looking for an audit of the whole system
sure.
in order to free up money.
Absolutely. Look, you can cut every position in central office. Now, you're not going to have anybody to run the district. But it's not going to add up to anything that puts a dent in our payroll for student-based employees, meaning people that interact with students and get the job done. Our payroll is hundreds of millions of dollars, okay? When we're talking about giving raises across the system to everybody that deserves it, we're talking $40, $50, $60 million a year. Central office doesn't put a dent in that. We can go and make cuts, and we will continue to streamline this system and make cuts at central office strategically to make sure that it doesn't impact kids,
yep.
which is what we did this budget cycle. But it's not going to put a dent in the money that we need to pay all the employees that deserve it more.
You said you'd get it in under the wire, and you did. He is Nathan Rust. We're out of time. Moon Griffon's next. Thanks for listening.